The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
This is Vince Russo's The Brand.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to 8 days a week. This is Vince Russo. I am here with Jeff Lane. You see how the fans react to you and me, bro? I get cheers. You get booed out of the building. You see that?
Yeah, I'm starting to not like our live studio audience.
Yeah, I wouldn't like them if I were you. This is a show, bro, where we go over everything that's happening on russosbrand.com during the week. Guys, we have so many shows. I've lost count. All I know is I'm always doing a show. The contributors grow and grow and grow and grow. And this is a show that Jeff cuts up where he gives you a little taste of what you'll get if you sign up to Russo's Brand each and every week. Is that a good description, Jeff?
Yeah, you're going to see clips from some of our shows on the Realm Network, all the talent that we got on there. Of course, you get all these shows at russosbrand.com. There's zero long-term commitment. You can opt out at any time. All you got to do is click subscribe to the Realm Network right at the top. And of course, we got in a whole other avenue to get shows from us, content over on Patreon. And you can get the best of both worlds, get in on both of those options. That's in $10 a month total, you know, starting tiers on Patreon plus the Realm Network. You can get all that for less than $10 total a month. Very inexpensive, zero long-term commitment.
Jeff.
Super jam with 100 bits. Go ahead.
I was a bad, bad boy Friday night. Bro, you know, I do a show with Stevie Wright. Black and White every Thursday, right here on the Brand, right? And bro, everybody's like putting that show over to the moon. We talk some heavy Black and White, and that's what the show's about. Show's about Black and White, bro. The show's about racism. I mean, that's what the show is about. So, bro, Stevie also does a show with Sonny Ono. You know, for the last 20 years, you know, Sonny is. Sonny has stated the case for 20 years that I chose to not use him on television 20 years ago, okay, because I was racist towards Japanese and Mexican wrestlers, okay?
Right.
Now, Jeff, how this all stemmed, where this stemmed from 20 years ago, was there was a dirt sheet writer that interviewed me. And the question that was asked to me was, you know, Vince, talk to me about your booking of Japanese and Mexican wrestlers. That was the question. Bro, the question was, Vince Russo, how do you feel about Japanese and Mexican people? That wasn't the question, bro. The question was about my booking specific to Japanese and Mexican wrestlers, okay? My response was, based on my data ratings, bro, that I studied for years at the WWE, based on my ratings, the numbers show you that an American television audience doesn't particularly care about Japanese wrestlers and Mexican wrestlers. That's the data. That's what the numbers said. Then, Jeff, I went into the explanation of why. You know, I explained the, you know, if you have a foreign speaking wrestler, you have a communication barrier right off the bat. So the American fan cannot relate to him. He doesn't understand the language. On top of that, the majority of these people wear masks. So now you're taking away the emotion. Okay. So this is why, you know, 20 years ago, Japanese wrestlers and Mexican wrestlers that did not speak English. I'm not talking about Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero, and I'm talking about did not speak English. That's why they didn't draw. So, bro, maybe the word, you know, American wrestling fans don't care about Japanese wrestlers and Mexican. Maybe that was the wrong term to use, because what I was talking about were ratings, and they did not draw. So now, Jeff, now I go into WCW. The first 3 months I'm there, you know, there was a lot of pressure on me. Ratings, 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 ratings. They wanted ratings tomorrow. So, of course, Jeff, when I got in there, you know, there were a lot of guys that were on top at the time. Not to mention, Jeff, WCW had over 200 guys on the contract. Okay. So, Jeff, they're paying me to get ratings. They want ratings. They're making that clear. There's a ratings clause in my contract. So, you know, I'm going by what I know draws. Okay, bro, I had to repackage Bret Hart. They had drove that NWO into the ground. Jarrett had just come over. I had to establish Jarrett. There were so many things I had to do. Unfortunately, Jeff, Sonny Ono was not on the top of my priority list. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I was not thinking about Sonny Ono at all. Sonny Ono had never drawn a dime in wrestling. The only reason Sonny had a job, bro, was because him and Eric were buddies. So Eric hired Sonny Ono, you know, the old nepotism gimmick. So Sonny Ono was on TV. Sonny Ono was not drawing on TV. The wrestlers he represented were not drawing on TV. So at the end of the day, Jeff, it was business. WCW wanted ratings. I had to go with who I thought was going to draw them ratings. So in November, they let Sonny Ono go. Okay? So, bro, at the same time, they're putting together a lawsuit about, you know, some African-Americans were treated unfairly at the power plant. Stuff I had nothing to do with. I don't know what was going on the power plant. I don't know how those guys were treated. That was not my deal. But what Sonny Ono did was he piggybacked, bro, on that lawsuit and literally, bro, took a two-sentence quote from what was a 10-minute explanation of me explaining why these guys never, you know, why these guys didn't get over. The part where the question was asked about, you know, Vince, how do you book these wrestlers? That was taken out. And of course, bro, the entire explanation was taken out. So at the end of the day, bro, let's break this down. Sonny Ono got a job because of Eric Bischoff. I came in, bro. I did not use managers. I did not use managers in any place I worked. I don't believe in I didn't believe in managers in 2000. Unless you're the Grand Wizard of Wrestling, Freddie Blassie or Lou Albano or Bobby Heenan, I didn't use managers. So I had no use for managers. Bro, on top of that, WCW at that time, they're trying to cut payroll. So they're trying to eliminate salaries of people that weren't going to be utilized and weren't going to be used. Sonny Ono was one of many people that were let go. But Sonny, you know, got butthurt, you know, because Eric was not there anymore. And now Vince wasn't using him because Vince, Jeff, how many times do you hear me talking about, you know, Paul Heyman is completely useless as Brock Lesnar's manager? He says the same thing over and over and over. Do not tell me, bro, that the less people would be interested in Brock Lesnar if it wasn't for Paul Heyman. I've made that clear. Paul Heyman is a freaking manager. Bro, can anybody really say, if we're going to be honest here, bro, did Sami Zayn do anything for Nakamura? Like, did Sami Zayn get Nakamura any more over than he was? Bro, I don't think managers work anymore. I don't think they worked 20 years ago. I got in a lot of heat with Liz because I had to tell Elizabeth, they're not going to pay you just to walk down the aisle with Lex. Like, those days are over. You're going to have to do more. Okay, bro? Sonny got butt hurt. Eric was gone. I didn't have a place for him. It was business. It wasn't personal. I didn't know Sonny from a hole in the wall. So, of course, bro, that turns into Vince Russo is a racist. Okay? And, bro, here's the funny thing, Jeff. So now I have him on the show one-on-one, and I'm trying to explain this to him, everything I just said to you, and I'm being calm, I'm being cool, I'm being collective. Okay, Jeff, no matter what I say, he keeps coming back to the racist thing. So now I'm kind of getting to the point of like, bro, why did I waste my time? Because obviously you did not hear one word I had to say. And let me just, for BB, let me just make one thing perfectly clear. Liz did not wrestle when I was writing. Liz wrestled at a time when I wasn't there, I believe, but
And she just did the mud pit thing.
Yeah. I mean, and I just, hey, BB, are you listening to the show? I just said why. I just explained to you why. Nobody was going to be paid at WCW anymore, bro, to be a garnish. They were really cutting down because Eric had padded up the freaking salary so much. So now I come in there. Now they want to cut down the salaries, and I don't blame them. So, Jeff, I'm explaining this to him, and it's getting evident to me that no matter what I say, he's not listening to a word I'm saying. So now I'm getting to the point of, bro, why did I waste my time to even come on here? You know, I was man enough to come on here and address, your claims about me. And you don't even know me, bro. You don't know me from Adam. And he said that, bro. He said that throughout the course of the interview. I don't know, Vince. You're damn right, bro. You don't know me. Because the decision that was made was strictly business. It was strictly business. So now, Jeff, now I'm like, okay, this is what you get, Jeff, from them all the time. So now I'm like, Sonny, you do know my first day on the job, I did put the tag team titles on Conan and Rey Mysterio. I said, you do knew that now. Bro, you know what his answer to that was?
Raised from San Diego.
Okay. So now I know what I'm getting. Okay. Oh, okay. Here we go. Now, just like Booker T was the champion because they made us make him champion. It's all the, whenever it doesn't fit their narrative, bro, whenever there's a monkey wrench in their narrative, it's some ridiculous thing. Rey Mysterio is not a luchador. Rey Mysterio is from San Diego. And again, the difference with Rey and the difference with Eddie and people like that, they were multilingual. Ray spoke English. Eddie spoke English. Totally different ball game. So then, Jeff, he's bringing up, you were biased. You were biased. I said, Sonny, I didn't base anything on being biased. I based it on data. It was all based on data. And then, bro, I always ask the question that I always ask, bro. Can somebody please tell me why I would be biased to Japanese people? I swear to God, bro, like that's the part that cracks me up. I have no history with Japanese people. No Japanese person ever did anything bad to me. It just boggles my mind. Like I'm legitimately trying to look for a reason why Vince Russo would not like Japanese people. Like, it's freaking ridiculous. So Jeff, he's going on and on. He's making me hotter. So then now, Jeff, I did not want to say, Sonny, you never drew a dime. Okay, bro, you were not on the top of my priority list. I didn't want to say that. I didn't want to disrespect the guy. So I'm still trying to stay within my boundaries. Okay. So, Jeff, then I go, Sonny, the first time I ever saw you on television, bro, you were coming to the ring snapping a camera. I said, I was watching from home, and I thought that was the most stereotypical thing I've ever seen in my life. I said, but yet, you're buddies with Eric. Eric's your buddy. You mean to tell me you're coming down to the ring snapping a camera, and your buddy Eric is not a racist? And now, you know what he says to me there, Jeff?
That was his idea.
That was my idea. So now he's covering for Eric, but now he sticks his foot down his mouth further by saying that was his idea. The Japanese guy coming to the ring, snapping a camera. So now I'm like, bro, that was your idea, and you have the gall and the audacity to call me a racist? Like, are you freaking kidding me, bro? So then, bro, now when I say that, and now when I make him look foolish, now he's absolutely backed in a corner. Okay? So now, bro, what does he do now? What does he do? Now he's in desperation mode. Okay? Because he's just saying, oh, bro, yeah, bro, it was my idea. It was my idea to come down to the ring snapping a camera, but you are a racist because you didn't use me. So I even said to him, okay, Sonny, so let me get this straight. If I would have kept you in that role of coming down to the ring snapping a camera, then I wouldn't have been a racist. Then I wouldn't have been around. I'm only a racist because I didn't have a spot for you, which was business. Okay? So now he's backed in a corner, bro. And now, bro, the ultimate, like the Doug Flutie Hail Mary pass, bro. Now he tries to tie this in with George Floyd. And like at that point, I'm done. Like, bro, I am so done with you. I came on here as a man to man, face to face. I let you speak your piece. I tried to explain to you logically what happened. And after 30, 40 minutes, bro, you're still going to sit here and call me a racist. I'm done with this. Now, I'm going to tell you something that happened last night that is very, very prevalent. I could not believe I watched this last night. But before we get to that, Jeff, I didn't know you had watched that. I didn't know you had listened to that. Just be honest with me, Jeff. I mean, like, what was your, I did not mean to blow up. I never thought I was going to storm off. Stevie at one point tried to wrap it up, but Sonny like would not let it go. What was your takeaway from this whole thing before I tie this into last night, what I watched last night? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, this is what I take. Then there was a couple things, you know, I wish you would have pointed out, like the wrestlers that he was mentioning, Yuji Nagata, Kaz Hayashi, like they never drew, and you even used Kaz Hayashi in the Young Dragons. You used him.
Right.
So like, and he didn't speak English as far as I know. So like that goes against his narrative. What I took out of this was, you even said one phrase that you that the American audience doesn't give a shit about them or whatever. You said you should have said that differently. You apologize for that, but he would not let that go. He would not accept it. He would not let it go. He wanted, no matter what you said, he had made up in his mind that you are racist. So the conversation was pointless if he was not there to meet in the middle. That's what Stevie wanted, you guys to meet in the middle.
Right.
You tried to meet in the middle. He did not want to. So as he kept pushing those buttons and going down that path, and he kept going back to the same thing you had already apologized for and covered, and you're trying to explain the business, and even Stevie Ray is trying to explain what you're saying, he keeps going backwards, and he won't move on for that, and he's not listening. So I understand completely why you got upset. Personally, I wish that you wouldn't have left, because that let him get the last word in.
I don't care.
I could care. I know, but you missed an interesting call. Stevie took callers after that. And one of the guys that called in said, you know, the guy was hired to do what he did in the WWF. If WCW wanted to keep doing things the same way they were doing it, why'd they hire him? It's like when you bring in this guy to do the things he did there, how can you complain that he's doing the things that he did there, going by the numbers and the facts? So I thought that was a good point by the caller. You know, like, don't blame him for what happened. Blame WCW if you don't like what happened. That was their decision to have him bring in the techniques that he used to make WWF successful. Yeah. But he just wouldn't. He wouldn't let it go. He did not want to meet in the middle. He had his mind made up no matter what.
Now you're going to love this, bro, because here comes the setup. You know, I think sometimes Eric Bischoff forgets that he's from Minnesota and I'm from New York. You know, I got to be honest with you. I think this has been one of the underlining reasons why Eric Bischoff hates my guts. Because you know why, Jeff? He's that carny wrestling bullshit. He's a guy from Minnesota, okay? Bro, I'm a guy from New York. When you're from New York, bro, nobody bullshits you. Nobody pulls wool over your eyes. You call a spade, okay? I've always been 10 steps ahead of Eric Bischoff from day one. From day one, for as smart as he thinks he is and as calculating as he is, bro, one of the big reasons he doesn't like me is I caught him red-handed with his bullshit when I worked with him. I called him out on it, and he didn't freaking like that. I was the only one to ever call out Eric Bischoff and tell him, you are full of shit, bro. You ain't gonna pull that shit with me. You ain't gonna pull that shit with me. So, Jeff, let me tell you about the setup now. Prior to the Sonny Ono thing, Stevie tries to get Eric Bischoff to do a show with me on his show, Stevie's show. Eric tells Stevie, I will do anything for you, but I will not be on the same show with Vince Russo.
Okay? Sounds like Meatloaf.
Yeah. So Stevie says, okay. So Stevie books Eric the week before Sonny Ono. Okay, bro? Bro, Sonny, Eric cancels and tells Stevie, oh, I'll come on after Vince and Sonny have their conversation. This is what I mean. Eric, you're from Minnesota. You'll never be a freaking New York guy. Okay, so I know exactly what you're doing. Okay, it's the old setup. It's the old slimy, greasy Eric Bischoff. So I called Stevie over the weekend, and I told him, calm, cool, and collectively, Stevie, I hope you could see this is the big setup now. Now him and Sonny get together. Now he comes on your show. He's had time to think about it. Now he buries Vince. I said, Stevie, I'm just asking you one favor. I said, I don't expect you to defend me. I would never ask you to defend me. I'm asking you one favor. When he starts going into Barry Vince Russo mode, can you just please bring up the fact to your listeners, Eric, I offered you the opportunity to come on the show with Vince on here, and you declined. I said, Stevie, please do that for me. Just let everybody know this slime ball, lying politician scumbag is now going to try to get in the last word. But you know now, this isn't me talking. You know now firsthand, the guy refuses to meet me face to face. Now, Jeff, I want to parlay this into a show I watched last night that blew me away. Now, Jeff, keep in mind the circumstances I'm about to tell you go back 30 years prior to 1999 and the Sonny Ono incident. So we're talking about, Jeff, 69, the early 70s. Okay. Jeff, there was a documentary on 30 for 30 last night on ESPN. Okay, Jeff? Bruce Lee. Okay. Bro, Bruce Lee started getting a reputation, and a lot of the bad boys in Hollywood at that time, you know, Steve McQueen, James Colburn, freaking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, Lou Alcindor at the time, they start hearing about Bruce Lee, and they start training with him. Okay. So now, bro, Bruce Lee is making some connections with some heavy hitters. So now, bro, he starts getting small bit parts on television shows. Okay. Well, bro, what Bruce Lee really wants was he wants to take his persona and his philosophy of Kung Fu. And, you know, bro, he wants to be a mainstream movie star. He wants to be a TV star. Now he's got aspirations. He had a little bit of a taste. Jeff, Bruce Lee comes up with the concept and writes Kung Fu. The television show Kung Fu. Okay? Bro, he brings it to the studio. They read his script. They love it. They love the idea of Kung Fu. Okay, bro? Bro, there's only one problem. Okay? At the time, bro, Bruce Lee spoke English, but it was like a little broken English. Okay? Bro, the executives that loved his show were concerned that if Bruce Lee was the lead character with his broken English that was hard to understand at times, it was not gonna get over with the American audience. So they bought Kung Fu from Bruce Lee and they put David Carradine in that role. Same exact scenario. You've got, I think it was Paramount. I can't remember, but you've got Paramount. You've got Paramount investing, just like WCW, all this money in this show. And they are afraid with the investment we're making, it's going to fall short because there's a little bit of a language barrier. Okay. It was strictly business, bro. They love Bruce Lee. They had no issue with Bruce Lee. It was strictly business. Bro, you know what? Bruce Lee got it. Bruce Lee didn't throw out the word, you're a racist, you're this, you're that. Bruce Lee understood. The studio is buying my show. They're investing a lot of money in this show. And they don't want to go into this with any inkling that this show might fail because of a communication barrier. Okay. Bro, Bruce Lee had to go back to Hong Kong and become a mega, 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 mega star making pictures in Hong Kong before he came back, you know, to the United States. It's the same exact scenario, bro. It's business. It's nothing but business. And bro, I flip my lid a little bit. I am so sick and effing tired of, we now live in a world, bro, where if you don't fall in line with somebody's narrative, you're a racist. It's that simple, bro. Well, I don't have to know you. I don't have to have a conversation with you. If you don't share the same beliefs I do, you're a racist. Bro, they've already come to the conclusion. They've already come to the conclusion. And bro, I'm sick and tired of people like Sonny Ono. And I am so sick of hearing that. And this isn't just about me. I mean, across the board, bro, you don't agree with somebody's agenda, we are going to find a way to label you a racist. I don't have to know you. I don't have to have a conversation with you. And in Sonny Ono's case, I can ignore all the facts, bro. I can ignore what you just said for the last 40 minutes, Vince, because I want to label you a racist. F you, bro. F you. I'm so done with people like this, bro. I'm so done with being stepped on and being labeled that people that who don't know me. And I'm not just talking for Vince Russo, bro. I'm talking for a lot of people out there. F you, bro. If man to man, I am going to explain to you, no, Sonny, this is what happened. And it was business. And you got butthurt because your friend hired you and Vince comes in and Vince doesn't have a role for a manager. Okay. So you got butthurt, bro. So what's the easiest ticket to rob money? And steal money from WCW, play the race card.
Guerrera on commentary. Like, what, these are the things I wish you would have brought up. It would kill his argument. Why is Juventud on commentary if you do not like Mexican wrestlers? Why was he on the show when you got there? The facts do not support his narrative at all. Go watch the shows. And the fact that you may have had something to do with Sonny Ono. You only had 3 months. Look how many wrestlers you had. If you watch the progression of Nitro, when you got there to when you left, there was more people that would get involved as it went on. More people got put into the show when you figured out the roles, when you figured out what you were doing. You were setting the table. You were setting the pieces. There's no way you can put 200 guys on TV your first day there. So maybe if you didn't go home after 3 months and you got to do actually what they hired you to do, there would have been a role for Sonny Ono 3 or 4 months down the road. The facts don't support this guy's narrative, and he didn't want to hear any of it.
Yeah. And, you know, Jeff, too, you know, then he's talking about all the guys that were let go. Okay. Ultimate Drago and all these guys. And like, bro, like one white guy wasn't released. And that's what I had some Sonny, white guys were released. There were over 200 people under contract. They did not need that. All those wrestlers. You're talking here like only Japanese wrestlers were released. A lot of people were released. Jeff, do you remember Brad Siegel told me I could not put Hulk Hogan on the show because they couldn't pay him? I couldn't put.
Yeah, he told you not to call him.
I couldn't put Hogan on the show because they were trying to cut back. And it's like, you know, bro, again, man, I sat there as long as I could. As cool as I could, but bro, you know, when it's getting to the point of, you know, bro, you're wasting my time. You're not listening to a single word I say, bro. At that point, F you, Sonny, go believe whatever you want to believe for the next freaking 20 years. If Sonny Ono was as over as Sonny Ono thinks he is, guess what, Sonny? You would have been gobbled up by the WWE immediately. Okay, were you, bro? Were you? If you were this commodity, bro, and you were this ratings draw that in your mind you believe you were, bro, you would have had no problem getting all those guys, the Ultimate Dragon and all those guys you represented, bro, the WWE would have gobbled you up in a heartbeat. Did they, Sonny? No, they didn't, Sonny, because you were not a draw. And my job was to bring their ratings back. If you can't understand that is business and has nothing to do with you being Japanese, bro, it's either one of two things. It's either one of two things. It's real simple. Number one, you're totally ignorant. And I can't believe that, bro, because I don't think you're an idiot. I think you're an intelligent man. So let's rule out ignorant, okay? Or it's number two, bro. You're not as over as you think you are. And you can't look in the mirror and say, WCW wanted ratings. They brought this guy in to get ratings. They based him. They based his contract on ratings. And you know what, bro? I really wasn't a ratings draw. It's that simple, bro. But you can't. And again, Jeff, everything in this business always goes back to ego. Ego. Sonny, again, real simple, bro. If you were knocking them dead in ratings, if people were turning into Nitro to see Sonny Ono, bro, you would have been gobbled up immediately by the WWE. Bro, you wore a name on the roster, and there were over 200 names on the roster, and some of those names, unfortunately, had to go. I mean, my God, bro, can you imagine if after 3 months I'm called into that office and I'm told, Vince, we're taking a change in direction. First of all, Sonny, I'm sitting in that seat and I understand business. I understand wrestling. I understand the politics of it. So I know exactly what's going on. I was prepared for it, and I handled it in a professional way. I didn't yell and scream. Okay, no problem, guys. That's not what my contract says, so I'm going home. Bro, could you imagine if I would have filed a lawsuit against Bill Bush and the WCW? Bro, they're sending me home because I'm Italian. They're racist towards Italian people. No, bro. I went home, and they changed the rules on me because of politics, which is part of business. That is the business of wrestling. Bro, I am not working for any wrestling company right now. Do you hear Vince Russo screaming, holy shit, man, bro, look at their writers. They got no Italians. Freaking Heyman's not Italian. Pritchard's not Italian. Michael Hayes isn't Italian. Road Dogg isn't Italian. McMahon isn't Italian. They must hate a town. That's probably why I don't get hired. You know how ridiculous you sound, bro, after 20 years? After 20 years, bro, it's really pathetic. Look yourself in the freaking mirror, bro.
All right, let's get to some clips from last week in the brand. Again, russosbrand.com, right at the top. Subscribe to the Realm Network. Zero long-term commitment on castrating the marks. We have a clip where Dave Meltzer says that Jim Cornette has no clue about modern wrestling.
Like, he does sometimes make good points. It's not like everything he says is stupid. And he is a smart guy in certain ways, no, without a doubt. But when he's analyzing, is that the word? Is when he's giving analysis. Analyzing. When he's giving analysis on modern WWE or AEW, and I'm listening to it, and it's like, man, he has no clue about modern wrestling. I mean, it's bad. It's so bad. Anyway.
I won't make fun of him for the word, because you do that on a daily basis. But no matter what you think about Jim Cornette, when you talk about the guy in wrestling, here's a guy that's an expert saying Jim Cornette doesn't have a clue about modern wrestling.
Bro, listen, say what you want about Jim Cornette. Okay, here's where these guys are missing the boat. I mean, Dave, do you understand Cornette worked in many, many, many eras of wrestling that actually drew? Do you understand that, bro? Cornette worked when the business was drawing. When the business was doing ratings, when the business was selling out house shows every freaking weekend. Do you understand the eras that Jim Cornette? So what Jim Cornette is, regardless of what he's saying, the bottom line, Dave, is this shit isn't drawing. Okay, if this shit isn't drawing, something is wrong with this shit. How can you deny that?
You know, Vince, I'm getting sick of the narrative and these people got it, like Cornette and you and everybody else got to be getting even more sick of it than me because I don't fit into the category. But the narrative that the veterans, the people that used to work in wrestling that were very successful in wrestling, don't understand wrestling anymore as the business continues to plummet and lose customers week after week after week. I'm getting sick of it. It's getting old. These guys are telling you what's going on is not working. The numbers prove that, but yet we're going to say they're bitter. They don't know what they're talking about. I don't care if it's Jim Cornette. I don't care if it's you, if it's Disco, whoever it is that's talking about this stuff. I'm tired of that narrative.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Jeff? Let them keep driving themselves in the ground. I mean, it's that, bro, if you can't look at the numbers and figure out, oh shit, we got 150,000 additional viewers with Mike Tyson who disappeared the next week. Bro, if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know, you're in denial. And bro, when somebody, you know, Sonny was in denial. When you're in denial, bro, it doesn't matter what you say. Like it doesn't matter. So, you know, I waste my time. Glenn wastes his time. Cornette wastes his time. You know, Jim Ross feels just like we all do. They're in denial, bro, because the facts are in front of their face and they choose to deny them because they're marks and this is the style of wrestling they love. Bro, that's freaking great. Just keep driving it into the ground. I mean, what, that's it. I don't give a shit what you do, man. Bro, you want to have an AEW? You want to have a two-hour Cody Rhodes match? Have a two-hour Cody Rhodes. I don't give a shit. Do whatever you freaking want to do. Bro, what they do, what the WWE do, bro, that does not affect me. The freaking brand is a freaking, thank God, knock on my wall, a runaway train, bro. We've got a great brand here. We got a great freaking thing going here. We've got great people that we're working with, bro. We're 6 years strong, zero signs of slowing down. I don't give a shit what they do. Guys, do whatever you want to do. I don't give a shit. I'm embarrassed for you. I think it's hysterical, bro, that, you know, he has a company that started with 1.4 million people. Check them out. Okay, well, you've managed to cut that in half. But, you know, freaking Dave Meltzer would still tell you about the evolving. Bro, imagine you're the head of a company and you come up with a product. Bro, let's talk about who's the guy with the pillars. Who's the pillar guy? You know the pillar guy I'm talking about?
The pillar guy.
Yeah, the pillow. The pillow. P-I-L-L-O.
Oh, pillow. Yeah, you know that guy?
Who's that guy?
My pillow, right?
My pillow. Okay. Bro, let's say my pillow. Let's say my pillow. Okay. The guy develops my pillow. The first year, bro, he sells 2 million pillows. The second year, Jeff, he sells 1 million pillows. The third year, Jeff, he sells 500,000 pillows. They interview the guy. Hey, bro, why are your pillow sales down? And the guy goes, oh, well, we're evolving. Bro, do you know how ignorant that? Bro, do you know how ignorant that is? Like, I don't even want to argue with that anymore. You are going backwards, and the word evolving is still being used. Do you know how ignorant that sounds, bro?
Also on Monday, Mr. versus Mrs. with Vito and Noel. Here's a clip from the latest episode.
Do you think that we should get a truck and make everything easier for us to go and get in and put in car seats and wheelchairs and nonsense and relatives and in-laws and dogs and whatnot? Or do you think we should get a Cadillac so Vito can be the B.I.G. from the L.O.G. and a Cadillac like an old Italian man from New York?
Like Mafia.
Why does our whole life have to surround the fact that you want to look like a Guido? Maybe that should be the debate.
Oh my God, you know... Could you knock me anymore?
The people on the
album brand, the people here on the Russo brand, they knock me. You knock me. I never win a vote. I never win nothing.
We tied, but of course we found out you cheated because you voted a skull.
And you know what? You people still haven't pre-gamed my birthday.
Why do we have to keep hearing about your GD birthday? Why?
Because people, all right? You wanted me on the brand. You wanted me back. The past couple of years, you got nothing. Nothing. No love, no wins, no nothing. The Barry Horowitz of podcasting. I never win nothing. Okay?
Pat yourself on
the head. Hey, it's nothing.
You're bitter.
I'm bitter.
And you always say, well, I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter. And everybody goes, oh, you're bitter about wrestling. You're not bitter about wrestling. You're bitter about votes on a podcast.
I am.
And your birthday.
Yeah. And then, oh, it's the Big Vito brand. We need them. Oh, they help us with our emotional problems. Oh, Big V, you're so wonderful.
We help people with all their emotional problems?
Yeah, because people watch us and because they get, you know, they get
down with
the show.
I think you're
going
to have some kind of a breakdown. Are you all
right? No, because this is bullshit, all right? This is bullshit. The Russo brand people. You people, all right? The people's people. How about doing something for the BIGV, for the LOG, okay? Send me some birthday gifts. Russo doesn't even do it. And then they have the Ben Hameen. Oh, Ben, how you been? You know, Stevie Richards. Oh, Stevie, how's the Stevie Wonder kick? You know what I mean? It ain't going nowhere.
Stevie has a cat.
This is terrible. All right? And then Will Russo. Oh, yeah, my father's the albums. Oh, yeah, I get the rub from my father. He's the original bro.
Is there any more branders you want
to
wear?
No, there's a lot more I've got to say, but I don't want to give you too much here on the Russo brand because then you want me to come on next week and entertain you again.
Maybe next week's vote should be, is Vito mentally okay? I don't think you're all right. You've been drinking today? Or?
No, I have. Actually haven't. And then I'm emotional because this show stresses me.
But why? This is the Nick and Easy show. It's you hanging out with your wife.
Hey, it's nothing. Hey, come entertain us for free.
You get paid.
You get paid to do
this. You do. Russo pays you. I don't get paid. You get paid.
And in that episode, they debated they want to get a new vehicle. And Vito wants style and Noel wants practical. And guys, you can vote on these topics that they discuss. All you got to do is go to russosbrand.com for information on that on Tuesday. Talks with Taylor Hendricks. She had D'Lo Brown on this week, and she asked him how he got into wrestling.
How did you get into wrestling? Like, what kind of sparked your love for it? Because you spent so much time.
Literally, as a 10, 11-year-old kid, just flipping the channels and one day seeing it and going, wow, this is awesome. Like, I love this. And just fell in love with the like wrestling itself, and I was just nothing but a fanboy. And I remember telling my sister when I was 12, I was like, you know, one day I'm going to do that. And she giggled and said, yeah, no, you're right. And then lo and behold, there I stumbled into the business. You know, I tell the story. I was working as an accountant in New York, and I would come home on weekends and roll around my friend's backyard wrestling. And I'm doing the air quotes here, backyard wrestling. And we would rent a ring from Larry Sharp at the Monster Factory.
Oh, wow.
And we put on our own little pay-per-views once a month. We had our, you know, cardboard cutout belts, and we had our own, every person was like five different characters, and we put on a pay-per-view. So one day Larry Sharp stood by and watched us, and at the end he's like, hey, you're pretty big, pretty athletic. You ever think about doing this for real? And I was like, me? Yeah, okay. He goes, I'll put you on my next show. Sell 50 tickets, you can be on my next show. So I sold 4, bought the other 46 myself, and that's how I was on my first show.
I love it. That's so like old school. That's kind of like what I was still experiencing when I first started coming in, is that whole paying your dues and someone trying to give you a chance. Like, all right, kid, here's your shot. What are you going to do with it?
Yeah, here's your shot. You got one chance, kid. Get it out of the park or strike out, but we're going to figure it out.
I love hearing the stories of how guys got into the business back in the day. I wonder if there's stories like that today. Like, how do people get into the business today?
Yeah, I don't know. I just love I love the excitement in D'Lo's voice still, bro, still telling that story, the excitement in his voice, how much fun he has just telling that story, bro. That puts a smile on my face that he's still that passionate about it.
Yeah, I love that he sold 4 and bought the other 46 himself. That's awesome. Yeah. All right, on Raw and SmackDown, review with Stevie Richards and Ben Hameen. Here's a few thoughts on the Jeff Hardy angle and also Sonya Deville.
The right intention, but the execution is so fifth grade, like, you know, audio visual class. When these people are being paid top dollar to be producing TV that they can just take simple tricks and even looks and styles from aren't happening the right way.
Man. Ben, let me go one step further. Okay, bro, because I don't know if this isn't possible. Okay, bro, they're on Fox, right, Ben? There's a Fox affiliate news station in Orlando, right? Bro, what can you imagine if they would have been able to work out to get the Fox affiliate in Orlando to shoot this? Bro, they work with Fox. Fox can get any affiliate to do whatever they want. Bro, this would have came on with Fox News, local news. Bro, people would have bought into it hook, line, and sinker until they interviewed Braun Strowman.
I think that's plenty enough to break the even. I know it's a rib on his performance of being real or not, but like that's enough to get it to that line and then go, oh, it's wrestling, to get us up to that, right?
I think that would have been very doable.
I think 100%, dude. And it's just that, okay, where in the writer's room do we have the base idea? Now let's just what we did right here in 3 minutes. Let's punch it up to make it look like something else, or let's punch it up to look at reality and what's going to be most cost effective, time effective, and get us the best part of the story where we can go back to it later, play the game out again if we need to. But dude, we'll get to the end of this show, but that's something I didn't want to let slip by. Well, but
you could have probably got that mark, that Fox mark, to play the role of the reporter. Who's that?
Jacob Ullman.
Who?
Jacob Ullman.
Jacob Ullman, bro. That was his. That could have been his spot to shine, bro.
Well, there's some weird news about that, too, to remind me of that I saw.
Dude, he looks like Herb Abrams from the UWF, that crazy guy who died in, like, Coke and Vaseline. He looks like him a little bit.
It's the shoot theater, bro. Did you make a note for that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not really that important of a thing. It was just from Hami Media Discussion Group. If you want to talk about it here, we can do it here.
Oh, let's save that. Because okay. I'm keeping you under an hour and a half. So. you know, Ben, Stevie, I got to tell you, Ben disagrees with me here. And bro, I think it's because I've been seeing, like, you know, Bailey, like, for so long. And
I disagree ad nauseum, then, if it's about Bailey.
I like this. I like Sonya's fire, bro. I like her fire. At least she's got freaking emotion, man.
I want to say then, anybody, and I'll try to use Ben's terminology, anybody that puts in a D-minus or C-plus performance on this show will look like an A++++.
That's true. I agree with that.
That's why she stands out, because everything is horrible.
I think she's been watching her promos. She's been practicing and trying to get better, and it shows.
Yeah.
There still just isn't anybody there to really be like, good. Now let's really focus in and see what the id of your character is. How do we bring that out of you? Where's the real moment? And then once we're there, what options are open to us? There's still a lot of, there's 3 months of character work to be done with her on the side before it really makes sense. But there was an improvement there. Good job, young lady. Good job.
Now Ben
and I've, my patrons know I've been putting over Sonya Deville the past few weeks. She's somebody I think like that if somebody like you got to work with would be a big star. She can cut a promo even with crappy material. She's got a great look. She looks physical. Like the intensity is there in the matches. She doesn't look like she's dancing. She looks like she's in a fight. I think that like, you know, she would have been somebody that would have been a star if she was around in your day.
Yeah, I just, you know, bro, I look at that and I'm like, bro, like, what, like, are you really, bro, going to sit there and tell me, bro, you know, they got these young writers, bro, you know, chances are the majority of these young writers have never been laid. As a matter of fact, bro, I'm going to go on the limb as to say the only young writer that has been laid is Dewey, Mick's son. I'm going to go on the limb of saying I have no proof of that, but I believe Dewey's the only writer. Okay, Jeff. So with that being said, you know, these freaking Mickety Mark young writers are getting worked by these beautiful women. You know they are, bro. And these beautiful women are paying attention to them and, you know, maybe calling them the week before. What do you have for me? You know that shit is going on. You know they're being worked like violins. Bro, somebody told me that was there. I'm not going to mention any names. But somebody told me that you know, one of the young writers that has a little bit of stroke, basically like follows Alexa Bliss around the back like a freaking puppy dog. Okay. So you know that shit is going on, and that shit has to be going on, because I'm sitting here and I'm saying, bro, like, it took you this long to find out Sonya Deville was good? Like, seriously, bro? 2 years? Whatever the freak it is, 3 years? It took you this long to figure out she is better than 90% of the women that you've had highlighted on this show for the last 3 years? That took you 3 freaking years to figure out. I guarantee you, bro, she don't play that game. She doesn't kiss anybody's ass. She goes to work and she does her job. And 3 freaking years it took you guys to figure this shit out. That's embarrassing, bro. That's freak. Jeff, you see this on a lot of sitcoms, and you and I talk about this a lot, where you have a character that wasn't supposed to be written in heavily. But like, after
Ben on Lost was only supposed to be on for like 6 episodes.
Bro, there's a million cases like this. You know, one that I always go to because it's one of my favorite shows. You know, everybody loves Raymond. When you look at Raymond's brother, Brad Garrett, Robert, Jeff, he practically didn't speak in season 1. But bro, the writers see the potential and the writers see what he does. And all of a sudden, you know, the guy's co-starring with Ray Romano. You guys, like, 3 freaking years. Nobody there can figure out that Sonya Deville can cut a better promo than... Do I need to go down the list? I mean, bro, she can cut, from a female perspective, she can cut a promo better than anybody on that roster. The only one that I would put up there with Sonya Deville is Charlotte. She blows Becky away. She blows Bayley away. She blows Sasha Banks away. She blows Nia Jax away. They're not even close. And it took you 3 freaking years to figure that out. All right, what's next, Jeff? I won't play my sound effects because I know I'll leave it in the background because I know you're pressed for time.
Thursday, Black and White, you and Stevie Ray. This was a very powerful episode talking about what's currently going on in our country.
We get to the point where we can read people pretty well.
Yeah.
We know if somebody's full of shit. Bro, when I was watching, and maybe you had a completely different take, and that's cool. That's what we're talking about. When I'm watching this press conference by the mayor, Jacob Frey, bro, this guy to me... And I'm always thinking everything's a work. This guy to me came across as pretty pissed off. This guy wanted full prosecution on this police officer. He's a white guy, white mayor. My judgment was this guy was pretty pissed off about this police sergeant acting this way. Would you agree with that?
I think, you know, when it comes down to politics, I mean, he may have been pissed off for more than one single solitary thing, though. He might have been pissed off because now you put the heat on our city that I'm a mayor over, and you got not only yourself in hot water, you got us in hot water. And I'm not saying that he didn't have, you know, a certain concern about the individual that's dead now, that can't even defend himself now. But I think as a politician, when you are trying to run a city, a major city at that, and you get put in a position like whereas it's indefensible, it's kind of hard to defend you, even though, you know, the police can put out a statement, so on and so forth, and say you can put any kind of words together and make it seem like everything's justified. That's so easy to do because of the total illiteracy and the ignorance that are so many people, even us, don't have when it comes to police procedure, so on and so forth. But when something is so blatant to the point where, man, I can't even defend you. I'm not only pissed about that. I'm pissed about you put a lot of us in hot water now as a community and a city. So I agree with you in a way, but as a politician, he's always watching his ass.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. But, bro, listen, unless we're in a society, bro, where, bro, if we just stop giving everybody the benefit of the doubt and everybody's full of shit, we're in trouble.
Exactly.
We're in trouble. So, like, I'm looking at this guy and my reaction is, okay, bro, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. The way
and I am.
Yeah, the way he's talking, he's on it. He's on it. Yeah. Let's see what he does. He's on it. Okay, that's my take.
Right.
Stevie, hours later, we're protesting in the street. Mm-hmm. We're looting.
Right, which is beyond stupid.
Yeah, but Stevie, somebody's got to explain that to me. Bro, this just happened. This isn't a week past. Nobody did anything. The governor's full of shit. This just happened. My God, bro, you have to give them the opportunity to.
And, you know, we always had to be careful about what we show on YouTube. So that was a mild clip, but this was a very heavy hitting episode that I recommend that everybody watch or listen to on the Realm Network.
Bro, I swear to God, I keep telling him this. Stevie needs to run for office, man. I'm dead serious. Bro, there is nobody that speaks like Stevie does. I mean, my God, I keep telling him that, bro. I'm very thankful he's into podcasting now. He does local radio in Houston. It's not really local, bro, because you could stream it and listen to it all over the country. His voice is being heard. It needs to be more than that.
Friday, Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Disco. In this clip, we are talking about WWE banning the Buckle Bomb, Nia Jax, and Kairi Sane, the injury that happened to Kairi's forehead on a recent Raw.
It's very uncomfortable watching Nia Jax wrestle that little girl. She's hurt her twice now. She's hurt her twice.
I was going to ask you, did you see the spot that she got cut open on this week?
Yeah, she threw her hard where she couldn't control herself.
Yeah.
That's her fault. She threw her as a shoot very hard in a short distance right in the thing where the girl couldn't protect herself. You're not supposed to throw her. You're supposed to let the girl take her own bump. Simulate throwing hard, but she shot her in there. And I'm watching that girl. She's a very small girl. It's a very abusive-looking match when they work each other for a shoot because the girl's been hurt twice now from it, you know?
Yeah.
And I just want to – I mean, I see this stuff, and it's just – I scratch my head. I'm like, bro, who is not – finally, Vince stepping in. Okay, let's start banning some of the shit that they're doing.
Yeah, she's also getting sent down to NXT.
Who is?
Nia Jax.
Is she really now? Is that a shoot? Is that a new story?
That's what I heard, yeah.
I haven't seen that. Is that today?
No.
Did you take her out of the pay-per-view match?
No, I saw somebody saying Alvarez said they should send her down to NXT.
I saw she was going down there, but I could
Where
be
did you see that?
I don't
Try
remember.
And find that, Jeff.
I didn't see it anywhere.
Just Google. Nia Jax sent down to NXT.
Yeah. But that's why I wanted to ask you because, you know, not wrestling, you don't know whose fault that is, you know, but you're 100% sure, you know, that Nia threw her too hard, and that's what.
Well, it's funny too. They banned the. But these two moves are Seth Rollins' inventions. The curb stomp they brought back, but at one point they banned the curb stomp. You know.
Yeah. So now it's like could only call it the stomp.
Yeah, but they banned the move. Now they're doing they banned the buckle bomb. That's bro. That's brutal. They ban moves that you invented. That's brutal. If they're banning moves you invented,
I don't see anything on that. But newest thing is Kairi Sane is accepting that it was her fault.
Oh, God.
That's a rumor.
Of course she is. She's a good team player.
What's next, Jeff?
But like Vince, I remember when you know she. messed up Becky Lynch's face. You were talking about adrenaline, and sometimes they don't know that. And she's a big girl. She's very strong.
Yeah.
Glenn, does that factor in? Or
yeah, she can't control herself.
Yeah.
Bro, imagine if a guy like King Kong Bundy couldn't control himself out there. You know?
Yeah.
And like you get hit with a 450-pound guy's fist in your face. Yeah, probably crush your cheekbones.
You know what it is too, bro, that plays into this? Bro, they're not working anymore. They're yeah. not working. So, bro, I mean, think about this seriously. And Glenn, please chime in if I am correct. They're not working anymore. So, bro, with what they're doing, bro, they're getting blown up. Like, they're doing a lot of shit in the ring. They're getting much more tired than they probably should be. That's going to affect execution, bro. Mm-hmm. They're not working spots together. They're all doing crazy freaking shit a mile a minute. Bro, they're tired. They're getting blown up. So when you got to do the next thing, that could have an effect on your execution. This isn't work anymore with these guys.
And this is what I love, again, about the brand, where the pros are pros. We have people on here. I was not a wrestler. I'm not going to sit here and tell you whose fault that was. I'm going to ask Disco Inferno, is this Nia's fault or Kairi's fault? We have people that are knowledgeable, that did it, that know the answers to whose fault it is. You know, you got everybody on the internet trying to say whose fault it was that have never wrestled a day in their life. We have people that know, we have people that have the experience, and they will tell you these things, and you will get the correct answers from the talent we got on our roster.
Hold on, hold the phone. Keep that thought. Put a bookmark there because I want to comment on that. But I got to comment on No DQ Virtues. Comment on Twitch. Also, I want to let you guys know, No DQ Virtue does a pod. You know what what his podcast is, Jeff, and all that. No DQ.
Oh yeah, he's got a bunch, and he does Get in Color with Vito also.
And he does Get in Color. He's awesome, bro. I swear to God, we're going to be talking a little bit about No DQ, Jeff. I hope you saw the tweet he put up yesterday about freaking Road Dogg's comments. Why? WWE, why all the talent scripted. Did you see Road Dogg's comments?
Not yet. I have not.
It will blow you away. And I can't believe Road Dogg would actually say this. Please send him those comments. But he said the Jeff Lane character is also another good example of someone getting pushed into the spotlight from obscurity. You ever thank me for that, bro? I ever get a thank you, Vince, a pat on the back, anything?
I'm sure I have.
I cannot believe this guy would make a public statement of why every WWE promo is scripted. I didn't even laugh at it. It was like pathetic. It was like, oh, that's why, bro. And you put that out there publicly instead of keeping that a secret. But anyway, Jeff, what I was going to say was, Jeff, I do the same thing. When I'm on these shows with these guys, I don't get into the wrestling. I'm not a wrestler. I'm not a wrestler. I do the same exact thing. Stevie, Ben, Disco, you know, PJ, you know, from a wrestling perspective, what did you guys think? I don't do that. That's why you guys sign up for russosbrand.com. These guys are in the ring. My God, bro, I got to try to see, you know, bro, wrestlers, Jeff, have a way of knowing, remembering everything. Jeff, I guarantee you, every one of the wrestlers on our show have it written down somewhere how many matches they've had in their career. I guarantee you, bro. I guarantee you. I would love to add up the total amount that everybody who has ever laced a pair of boots have combined, bro. Could you? What kind of a number could we be looking at?
I don't know. I remember seeing Rudy's list of all the matches he refereed, and it was insane. And that was before he even got to WWE. So I can't imagine what the number is now.
Bro, when you look at, and I'm talking about from day one, when you, you know, bro, Stevie Ray starting in Global. When you go back, you know, Stevie Richards all the way to ECW, bro, freaking Shane Douglas. You know, PJ started at the WWE. I remember when he was PJ Walker. Vito, Bro, Vito worked for all four companies. Can you imagine the combined number? Oh my. I'm going to see if these guys know. I'm going to get a number from them one by one. I can't even imagine, bro.
Art with 100 bits, Troy with 50 bits, and speaking of Road Dogg on Chicken Necks, you and Billy Body. He's talking about Road Dogg listening to Dirt Sheets and podcasters.
Yeah, I've not spoken about it before, but now is the relevant time to say it. And I apologize, which I never do if this messes up any kind of friendship or relationship that I've had. But back in 2017, Brian James, Road Dogg, was going around and he was following these influential people in wrestling, these journalists and people with podcasts. He follows them all. He even follows the JD from New York guy.
You want to know what's funny, bro? Me and Brian were very good friends, very tight. We had a relationship well over a decade. Bro, when I was being honest about the WWE like I always am, bro, he stopped following me. And I'm like, and I was like, Brian, like, bro, this is business. You're my friend. This is business. I got to be honest with the way I view things. But it's funny that you say that, bro, because he actually stopped following me. But go ahead with the story.
Well, he follows these people and there is a communication between them, because originally he came at me for my sources, which I said no. And then the conversation moved over to storyline and he would constantly ask me what I think, to the point where I just turned around and said, dude, you never take any of my ideas. I like gave him a whole load of ideas. He said, you never take them. And he turned around flat out to me. I said, why do you bother? He said, because you guys are important to the company. He said, even though in reality, you make up only, the internet makes up, or the Twitter makes up 1.8% of the viewership. That's not the people on Twitter. That's the people who actively tweet. But wait, they sell those metrics to their companies to pretend that we got 10 million tweets. Yeah, 100 from the same dude.
Right, right.
But it looks good and they know that they are getting this past their advertisers. Therefore, they go to all of the top guys in social media, which I was at the time with my verified tick and so was Saturn. And I said to him, you don't take any of my ideas. Why do you even bother talking to me? I said, you've done one thing that I've said in 6 months. And he said, because we have to speak to you guys, even though, and I got that number from him. And if he ever denies it, I will show you the messages. And so I don't think he will. But he said 1.8% of the audience is made up on Twitter and we have to listen to him. So we go to the influencers, which means that there are people that are influencing the product and telling them, no, I don't think you should do that. I don't think that you should do this. And that results in them being conflicted. And you get match, 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 match. And then you get a Jeff Hardy storyline, which was good in its idea, but poor in the execution of paying it off by the end of the show. And that is solely, in my opinion, to make sure that they don't get the heat from these guys. These guys are not only controlling the industry, but they're controlling you because they are telling you this is wrong. Instead of just saying whether they like or don't like or rebooking anything, they are controlling the wrestling industry. You guys need to unfollow them or stop digesting this content and moving on to real people.
You know I do Castrating the Marks. Right. Okay, bro, I put out a tweet. This actually happened, just to give people an idea of what Billy.
And that was an interesting conversation, because we always speculated if who in the company was listening, and you had thought that they were listening to these guys that we castrate every single week on Monday. But from that conversation, it seems like it's true that bro, they do.
Did you hear the latest breaking news based on that?
I don't think so.
Road Dogg, you know, first of all, bro, you know, listen, guys, I worked with Brian a very, very, very long time. Brian James was a great, 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 great talent. Great freaking talent. Okay. Me and Brian used to follow each other on Twitter, but it got to the point that Brian didn't like some of the things I was saying about WWE, you know, his company. Yeah, I was only stating my opinion, okay? So, you know, he stopped following me. That's fine, Brian. You want to be a child, stop following me. But, bro, late breaking news. as of today, he has blocked Billy Bhatti, bro. Blocked him since Billy.
Because of that show?
Yes. Yes. Yep.
Was it supposed to be a private conversation? Is he mad about that? I wonder.
I guess. I don't know. But Billy sent me the screenshot where he's been blocked. I mean, like, bro, it's a joke with these people, man. It's a joke. Like, what, bro, whatever. I mean, you know, you sit here. Do we even need to wonder why the business is where it is? Like, seriously, bro, I was watching, you know, I know NXT had a big pay-per-view yesterday. So, bro, I'm not going to watch that. I'm not interested. But you know, you see the clips on Twitter, you know, Jeff, you see the GIFs, what are they, GIFs, right, bro? I swear to God, bro, you're watching a stunt show. It's a stunt show, bro. It's who's gonna do the biggest stunt. That's what it is, bro. The wrestlers today are the cars in the Fast and the Furious. That's all it is. So, you know, yeah, bro, there are people that like that. 700,000. That's great. If I'm in business, I don't want 700,000. I want 7 million. And even Sonny started going down that road, Jeff. Remember? Yeah, there are some people that like that. But yeah, Sonny, there are some people that like that. I wasn't after the some people. WCW wasn't after the some people. We were in business, bro. We were after the masses. There are going to be some people that like everything, bro. Everything. You're going to find some people that like this. Okay. But bro, when it's business, you don't want some people, you want the most people. So, you know, again, bro, you look at the numbers. Yeah. Okay. You guys are rock stars. You guys are rock stars with the same 700,000 people watching your show. You guys are you're freaking rock stars. You're rock stars. Unfortunately, bro, look at the 700 people. Legitimate rock stars would draw 700,000 people maybe after 20 concerts. 700,000 people, guys, out of an audience that combined used to be 10 million. So I'll combine AEW and NXT. 1.5 million people. And it's not even that anymore. It's 1.2, 1.3 million. Okay. Compared to 10 million. Okay. You're rock stars.
Guys, get all these shows and more in video and audio every single week. Zero long-term commitment. You can opt out at any time. Give us a try. RussosBrand.com. Subscribe to the Realm Network. Right at the top, you can check me out. I do some things on the side. Twitch.tv/JeffLane22 and Patreon.com/JeffLane22.
Bro, what about No DQ tried watching last night and went right back to playing Zelda after 5 minutes, bro?
I would too. Well, I wouldn't even have tried for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Guys, remember, we have a whole menu of totally different shows at patreon.com/RussoTWC, bro, starting at $3 a month. That's where it starts, bro. And, you know, the more you get, it's like a menu, bro. You know, your appetizer, your dessert, your main course. The more you want, the more you get, you have those options. You pay a little bit of money. But remember that too, patreon.com/RussoTWC. Guys, if you sign up for russosbrand.com right now, tomorrow you will get Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Disco, and I'm sure there is a lot to talk about. But that is it, everybody. For myself and Jeff Lane, we will see you tomorrow.